And we are pleased to be joined by Idaho's Attorney General, Attorney General Raul Labrador. Welcome to the Neil Larson Show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, doing quite well. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. I noticed, Attorney General, your name popped up here in East Idaho in the news. You made an endorsement for David Worley in his challenge to Senator Guthrie. And so we'll ask you that right out of the gate. Tell us why you decided to get behind a challenger to an incumbent Republican.
Well, I've gotten to know Dave Worley for a long time. He's a war hero. You know, he's an active duty member. He's done so many different things. And I think we needed some change. I think some people in the legislature think that their job is to prevent good bills from even being heard. I don't have a problem with people voting against bills if they have good reasons to vote against bills. But it's not the job to keep things from being heard. I think people in southeastern Idaho are so nice that they don't realize that some of their legislators say one thing back home to get elected, and then they go back to Boise and they do something completely different. You know, they're looking out for special interests instead of looking out for the people of Idaho. So I think there are some changes that need to be made. I will be making other endorsements in some other races, and I think it's important for the people to really pay attention to what's happening, because I think sometimes, you know, most people are too busy, Neil, to figure out what's happening in Boise. You know, people are busy with their families, they're busy with their jobs, with, you know, church callings, all these different things, and they're not paying attention. You just say, oh, my friend likes this other individual, so I'm going to vote for them. But the reality is that you need to look at the record and the things that people have done when they're in Boise, and it's time for some people to move on. But I'm mostly endorsing Dave because I just think he would be a great senator for the people of your area.
You know, it is interesting. Because we look at this, and Julie and I are very well aware of this problem, and some people are. But I think you're right. I think people have busy lives. They see a letter behind a name on a ballot, and they think it's safe and they're good. But a few weeks ago, I was just curious to see where lawmakers vote, how often they vote with their party, especially on votes where one party votes one way and the other party votes the other. And that lower end, and I would say a lot of lawmakers in the 60% range, there were a lot of East Idaho lawmakers that only vote like 60 to 70% of the time. They were from East Idaho, and I would agree with you. I think this is a problem that a lot of East Idahoans aren't really aware of, and I think it is something that you have to look at. That's not to say there needs to be 100% party purity here. I don't think it has to be.
No. Even I didn't vote 100% with my party when yeah. I was in D.C. or when I was in the legislature. So, no, there doesn't need to be party purity. But you need to be a person who is committed to the things that you tell your constituents. And I think that's where I get frustrated. You know, I don't know if you noticed a couple of weeks ago, you know, several Eastern Idaho legislators voted against some immigration bills. Fine, if you want to vote against immigration, you know, strong immigration enforcement, that's fine. Go back to your constituents and explain it to them. But what ended up happening, as soon as they voted that way, you had a bunch of groups that started sending texts saying that this legislator is really strong on immigration. And I'm like, wait a second, they just voted against immigration enforcement, and now they're strong for immigration enforcement. So what they're doing is they're trying to deceive the public. If you really believe, like, you vote, then go back to your constituents and tell them this is why those bills were bad, or these are the bad things about these bills. But don't hide behind PACs that are going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars deceiving the public about what your record is.
Yeah.
You mentioned the legislative session, Attorney General, and I would just love to get your take. How did you feel like this 2026 Idaho legislative session went?
It was a tough legislative session because they had some really tough choices to make. I don't know if you remember, I was in the legislature from 2006 to 2010, and that's when we were in the middle of the recession, and we had to make some really major cuts to government and to spending. And so I actually feel for them. I think they had some tough choices to make. I think overall, I try not to comment on overall legislation. They had tough choices to make. I think they did pretty well. They got out of it. It was messy. The media tried to make it more messy than I thought it was. I think they made some tough choices. I think in the future, I think it would be wise for legislators to look, if you're cutting taxes, and I think we all fall under this trap, if we're cutting taxes, you should look at, the spending too. It's a great opportunity to look at what things are wasteful in government. And I think it was a good opportunity. And I think they're going to have to do it again. I think next session is going to be probably even tougher.
We're talking with Attorney General Raul Labrador. One of the bills, and I, again, maybe you don't want to talk about specific legislation. However, this involved your role as Attorney General, which would have given you the power to remove officials who violate the law. And I looked at that. I had a lot of hesitation about this bill, not because I don't trust Raul Labrador to use that power wisely. I'm just not sure future attorney generals would use it wisely. And so I thought that's an awful lot of power to give one official. And if you're comfortable, maybe talk about that legislation. Was that something that you would have liked to have had? And how did you feel about it?
So to be really clear, I'm not going to talk about specific legislation. I will tell you, I did not ask for that power. That was not something that came from my office. I do think in general, it's wise to think on any legislation, would I like this if somebody I don't like is in power, right?
Yeah.
So that's not unwise to think that way. But what I will tell you is over the last few years, the legislature has given my office more and more authority over different things. And I think in some of those areas, it's really wise to make sure that the Attorney General has the power to enforce laws that nobody else has the power to enforce. We've been given more authority over ICAC, the Internet Crimes Against Children unit, that we're just doing a tremendous job. We've increased the number of arrests and prosecutions and convictions of predators fourfold since I've been in office in just 3.5 years. So the legislature, just this year, one of the Democrats was complaining that my office, there were 10 different bills that gave my office more authority. And most of those areas, there were areas where I think it was wise to give us that authority. But I think it's always good to have that question at the top of your mind. Is this a power that I really want that particular person to have? But I didn't really look into this bill. I didn't ask for this bill. And honestly, I'm not even sure I didn't even look at the debate. So I'm not sure what the issue was and why it went down.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to shift gears on you, Attorney General. We had Secretary of State Phil McGrain on right after the Trump administration asked for the secretaries of state to share voter information. And we felt super comfortable with the explanation that the secretary gave about why he chose not to do that. Since that time, the Trump administration has announced that they are suing the state of Idaho based upon their lack of desire to share that information. I'm not sure how much you can comment on that, but I would love to hear what you have to say and how the Attorney General's office is going to handle that.
This is the worst interview you're ever going to have. I can't comment on pending legislation. Pending litigation. What I will tell you, the laws of the state of Idaho protect the privacy of our citizens. And I think Phil McGrain, that's the position that he's taking, and I, as his attorney, will be using the laws of the state of Idaho to defend the state of Idaho. And again, I'll actually ask the the people that are listening to this the same question that you asked in your discussion about that legislation. Imagine if the Biden administration was demanding private records from the state of Idaho. How would you feel?
All right.
So that's something that I think people need to, not everything Trump does is great. And I love a lot of the things that he does, but the federal government is always trying to overreach, and I think it's important for us to defend the privacy of our citizens.
All right, Attorney General, I also want to ask you a question you're not likely to answer.
We're just going to keep rolling.
Yeah, great interview this morning.
Yeah, it's great. Let's talk about the Boise mayor, now the city council. Almost like 5 minutes after Siney died, they were putting rainbow colored decals on the doors of City Hall. They were wrapping the light posts, rainbow themes. Those aren't flags. So I don't know how the law gets interpreted in that case. But is that a situation that you're looking at? Is there some way that maybe the mayor is in violation?
You need to look strictly at the law. The law talks about flags. The flag was taken down. Obviously, we're looking at all the things that they're doing. But I just think, broad. It's an issue that is so much broader than just a specific bill. If you look at the comments online from people are frustrated with the mayor and the city council. And I'm not talking about right-wingers. I'm not talking about people who supported that legislation. I'm talking about people that are saying that they're liberal and they're just sick and tired of the mayor making such a big deal about these things. They're wasting government money. They're wasting government time. There's important issues that the city of Boise needs to deal with. And I think the bottom line is I think this is going to cost her election. I think it's a stupid hill to die on. And, and I think even people that would not normally, obviously a conservative Republican like Raul Labrador is not going to be the next mayor of Boise. Boise is a liberal city. But I don't think, right-thinking individuals, people that are just want their government to just properly work, are really all that excited to have a mayor that's wasting so much time on these issues.
Yeah. And I love that answer. I think that's exactly right. And I just want our audience to know you heard it here first. Raul Labrador is not running for mayor of Boise. So
I do not live in Boise and I could not get elected in the city of Boise. Yeah. So.
I guess what? In this interview, I actually have a question I think you can answer. You announced on Monday a move to restore state laws banning transgender people from changing their birth certificates to reflect their gender identity. So they currently have an option. They can change their birth certificate to not match their biological sex at birth. Would you explain how that motion is going to roll forward?
So what happened, and I don't know when we announced this, but there was a lawsuit in the state of Idaho over a law that said that individuals could not change their birth certificate. That lawsuit actually was lost by the Attorney General's office before I was in the office of Attorney General. That lawsuit created a statewide injunction against, so no one could actually change everyone could change their birth certificate. And because of a Supreme Court case that happened a few months ago, we decided to go back to the court and to say, look, this can only apply to the litigants in this lawsuit, not to every single person in the state of Idaho. And the plaintiffs agreed with us, and the court went ahead and withdrew the statewide injunction. And now we do have a law that we can continue to enforce that says that no one can change their birth certificate. So from this moment on, it's a law that passed several years ago. It was actually Julianne Young who passed that law when she was in the legislature. We were able to change the prior ruling from the court, and it's something where it was only enforced on against the two individuals that filed the lawsuit, and now the law's still intact for everybody else.
Attorney General, I have one more question. Someone texted this in. Is the Attorney General doing anything about the fraud in our government, like hospice, the daycare centers, et cetera? I remember one of the first things you did after you were elected was look at the misallocation of some of the COVID money that was appearing to go to some of the wrong places, and then health and welfare tried to block you from getting records. I don't even know how that turned out, but maybe outline since then, what have your efforts been to find and go after fraud in our government?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And the state of Idaho gives the Attorney General very limited criminal jurisdiction. And this is one of the areas where we are trying to get the legislature to give us a little bit more specific jurisdiction over fraud, you know, people that are using state money. Right now, that falls on the county prosecutors more than anything. And we still don't have the jurisdiction that I think we should have in these cases. So we are working closely with the Department of Health and Welfare because they're looking at some of these issues. And as their attorneys, we're giving them legal counsel on what things to look for. But I don't have the full authority to actually prosecute those cases. And I think the legislature should look at adding the Attorney General as a person that can look into fraud into these areas, because unfortunately we don't have that kind of power at this time. I'm working closely with health and welfare. I know that health and welfare is looking at some of these issues. I can't talk too much about what they're doing and things like that, but we are giving them advice on how to do it, what government agencies and law enforcement agencies they should be working with. But I hope that in the next year or two that the legislature will expand the powers of the Attorney General so we can actually look at these things. Because we already look at Medicaid fraud. We look at some other fraud issues. But there are some issues that are happening in state government that we don't have the authority to look at. And the things that we can do, we do really well. Like I talked about ICAC, you know, the Internet Crimes Against Children Unit. We have just vastly improved the number of prosecutions. Our unit that does special prosecutions has increased exponentially the number of prosecutions that we're doing. So the things that the legislature gives us authority to do, we're doing a tremendous job. And we're hoping that they can expand that.
All right. Our guest this morning has been Idaho's Attorney General, Raul Labrador. I was on Facebook earlier, Attorney General. If you see Superintendent Debbie Critchfield in the hallway today, wish her a happy birthday because it's her birthday today. So.
All right. I will do that.
Yeah. And you can act like you just naturally knew that, too. So, you know.
I have all these birthdays memorized.
Yeah.
So, especially when you tell me what they are.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Attorney General. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Hey, great talking to you. Thank you.
You bet. 850.